The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't mind us, you are inside the praise tabernacle, so we don't have a choice. We are addicted to praise. Hallelujah. I say we are addicted to praise. If you are part of us, come on, shout a big hallelujah. Shout a living hallelujah. I welcome you into this great service this morning, and I know that your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. This is our financial liberation service, and we have been on our topic, liberation, since the month started. Financial liberation, securing financial liberation. Your financial life is very important to God. The same way your spiritual life, your making heaven, is important to God, your enjoying your stay here is equally important to God. The same way God wants you to have children is the same way God wants you to have money. The same way God does not want you to die is the same way he does not want your pockets to die or to be without resources. In 3 John verse 2, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospereth. It is my desire that you prosper. That's what I long for. In Joel chapter 2, verse 24. Joel, the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible speaking there was also explaining to us the importance. It says, And the floor shall be full of wheat, and fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath done wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, quickly this morning, within the limited time that we have, what is financial liberation? What does it mean to be financially liberated? Number one, it means securing freedom from all forms of lack and insufficiency. Securing freedom or escape from all forms of lack and insufficiency. Number two, what does it mean to be financially liberated? It means financial flow from divinely organized sources, which terminate poverty. Financial flow from divinely organized sources, divinely orchestrated sources, beyond salary, beyond what your husband gives you, beyond what you collect from government, beyond what is your parents give to you. Financially organized resources which terminate poverty and lack permanently. Number three, what is financial liberation? It means supernatural connection to the flow of resources which brings you above economic challenges. Supernatural connection to flow of resources. Supernatural connection to a flow of resources which brings you above all forms of economic challenges. And number four, with definitions, it means total deliverance from the captivity of lack and want. Total deliverance. They say some people need deliverance from witches. Some people need deliverance from wizard. Some people need deliverance from madness. Some people need deliverance from poverty. Some people, their own deliverance is to be delivered out of inability to feed themselves. And if there are anyone here in such a situation, God will supernaturally liberate you in the name of Jesus. All our fathers were blessed. All. Abraham was blessed. Genesis 13 verse 2. That would say Abraham was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Abraham was rich. He was blessed. Genesis 24, verse 1. Genesis 24 verse 1. He was super blessed. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord blessed him in all what? Did he say some things? All things. Abraham was blessed in all, everything you can think of. Abraham had it. Also looking at Isaac. Isaac was blessed to the extent that they envied him. Genesis 26 verse 12 to 14. Genesis 26 verse 12 to 14. Isaac was blessed. And then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year and hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Verse 14. For he had possessions. Someone say possessions. He had flocks. He had possessions of herds. These were the criteria for judging wealth in those period. These were like, this is talking like the dollars or the pounds or the euro of now. Your number of flocks and herds goes a long way to determine how far, how rich you really are. He had possessions of flocks and herds. And he was super blessed. And great store of servants. He had great employees. Thousands of them. Super blessed, super rich, had more than enough to eat and to enjoy himself. Jacob was also super blessed. In Genesis chapter 30 verse 43, Genesis 30 verse 43, Jacob was super rich, super blessed. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servant and men servant and camels and asses. He had everything you can think of. He had excess of them. Men servants, cattle, camels. Camels is like, it's like talking about trucks and tractors. He had many of them. He had asses. He had trailers, trucks, 16 tires, 10 tires, 12 tires. In abundance. Somebody's here, God will take you there. I say God is going to take you there. And it will not be long. I say it will not be long. Now listen to me, friends. I want you this morning to have a hatred for poverty. That's why I'm here. Because people have made us to think that when you are a Christian, then your destiny is to be poor. I just mentioned to you our own fathers who never tasted. They were not poor people. They were not scratching the ground. So, I want you to hate it, because until you hate it, you can't get out of it. And as some of you here that you think you are rich, you are not yet rich. You are not yet rich at all. Something remarkable is just about to start. Amen. Quickly this morning, what are the benefits of financial liberation? What do you stand to gain? I'll give you a few of that, then we'll move on very quickly. Benefits of financial liberation. Number one benefit is that to display God's love to others. Financial liberation helps you to be able to display and show God's love to others. God is a person, is a people lover. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. He that spared not his own son but freely given him unto us. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? God is a God that blesses. And until you are blessed, you can't show God's love to people. You look like a bad person when you are in lack. Because those you should help, you can't help them. Hello. You look like a wicked person. You make God look like somebody who doesn't care about others when you have lack. Because somebody is there that needs something, you cannot put your hands in your pocket. You just say, God bless you. You say, I've been hungry for the past 6 days. I've not eaten anything. God bless you is not what he needs. He needs rice and beans. He needs fish and meat. So when you are in lack, it's as if you have nothing. And it's as if God does not love people. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 35, popular story about the Samaritan. Luke 10, 30 to 35. That man was traveling. And as he was traveling, the Bible says that, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took off to tents and gave them to the host. and said unto him, take care. 30 to 35. Thank you, Jesus. Start from 30, please. This is the last verse. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him. A man was traveling and was attacked by robbers. And they wounded him to the extent that he was almost at the point of death. And the Bible says, and by chance there came by a certain priest. And that priest was a poor priest. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side because he knew that this thing will cost me money. And likewise, a Levite also passed. And when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by him on the other side too. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil. No, oil costs money. Wine. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, to an hospital, and took care of him. Now let's look at verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed for his own journey to go further for his own business, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will pay you. This is the kind of life you can live when you are in abundance. You represent God on the earth. When they say, oh God, where are you? It is your face. It is your hand that appears as the hand of God. When you are in lack, you make it look as if God doesn't care about people. Number 2, benefit of financial liberation is that it demonstrates the greatness of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians 3 verse 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. So our God is a great God. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. God is not a small boy. Our God is a massive person. And it is when you are blessed that his massivity can be exhibited. People make God look as if he's small, when there's nothing in their pocket. When you are financially liberated, people know that your God is great. And everybody wants to serve a great God. Everybody wants to serve a God that is very great. In your life, God will show himself very great today. I say in your life, God will show himself very great today. So your wanting to be blessed financially is not because you want to show up. It is because you want to display the size of God. You want to show the world that yes, my God is a big God. And that big God will show himself in a big way to you today. Amen. Number 3, benefit of financial liberation is that it facilitates generational impact. Your blessings financially and otherwise makes you a blessing to your generation. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, he explains to us that we are the light of the world. Say, you are the light. You let your light so shine before all men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father. You are meant to make impact. It is only with finances and with blessings that you can make such impact. How many of you know that the 10 greatest universities in the world, 8 of them were founded by churches who had resources? Talking of universities like Harvard, like Yale, like Princeton, all the big universities, they were founded by formidable churches that had this thing. So if you're a church and you don't have anything, you can't impact your world. You can't impact your world. One of the biggest banks in America is owned by a church. So the resources that God will give to you brings about making you put your stamp print in your generation. It is not for show. It is because God has sent us here to do that. And that resources is coming to you in a hurry. I say resources are coming to you in a hurry. the greatest, the best private university in Nigeria as of today is Covenant University, is owned by a church. So without massive resources, nothing can be done. Nothing can be achieved. You just be making mouth. Number four benefit of financial liberation is that it makes it easier to serve God. How many of you realize that it is easier to serve God when you have something in your pocket than when you are, your pocket and your bank account is completely empty? How many of you know that? It's easier to serve God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 7 to 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 7 to 10. The Bible says, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." Someone say amen. "A land of brooks of water and of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron." Don't you love this? "And out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." This is blessing. Now let's go to verse 10. "And when thou art eaten and you are full from the blessing received before, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given to you." So when you are financially liberated and blessed, if it is raining, it doesn't disturb you because you can enter your car and cruise to church. Hello? Don't let us be too spiritual to look as if these things are not real. They are real. When there is a need to go to do something that relates to serving God, you can do it with ease. They say, "Let us do this." It's not a problem because you have more than enough. Serving God is very convenient. It's very easy when he has released that blessings into your hands. Because you are relieved of headache. The headache of looking for transfer fare to come to church, you know, things like that. All those things are gone. So you don't have a problem in serving God. You say, "Get to church by 6. You are already thinking, "Okay, which of these cars do I take? I should be there by even before 6. But when you don't have anything in the pocket, when there is so much suffering and all that, you say, "Why didn't you come to church?" You lie. You say, "My daughter, my child is sick." Well, he's not sick. It is the pocket that is sick. You say, "My child is sick. My child was very sick yesterday." And every sick pocket here today is declared healed in the name of Jesus. Number five reason why you need financial liberation is the financial abundance and liberation is needed to live a comfortable life. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. I need to be very fast now. Financial abundance and liberation is needed for a comfortable life. How many of you know that living in a duplex is more comfortable than living in a face me and face you? Because in a face me and face you, you want to rush to church very early and somebody ate beans day before yesterday night. I was in the toilet and has been there for 7 hours. Wanted to go out, lock the door again. Wanted to go out, and you want to enter that toilet just to ease your own self or something. The person cannot come out. When you are financially loaded, it is very easy for you to live a comfortable life. When people say, "I'm coming to greet you," it's not a problem. When they first enter, there's a place where they stay first. They stay there, they serve them water. When they enter another sitting room, they serve them juice. Then when they come to your dining, they serve them real meat. It is stages upon stages. But this one, that everything is done inside one cubicle like this. I'm trying to make you hate lack. I'm trying to change your mentality so that what God actually wants for you can show up. Some of you have become too comfortable in that condition. You say, "This is where God wants me to die." It's a lie. You will not die in that condition. Amen. Whatever state you are now, things will still get better for you. Amen. Let me hear you say loudest amen. Amen. He wants you to live in a better condition whereby you can eat good food. whereby you can pay your children's school fees without sweat. There's so many. When, towards the time of school fees payment, they, all of a sudden they become like lions in the house. The wife goes, yes. Because he's avoiding her saying school fees is due. Say, please stop there. I just say I should greet you. No. I don't need anybody's greeting for now. The day he gets the money, from today, what you are going to spend on your children, you will not lack it. What you are going to spend on your children, you will not lack it. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number six, benefit of financial liberation is to facilitate the invasion and the expansion of the kingdom of God. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 7. Zechariah 1 verse 7. You must realize, ladies and gentlemen, that every one of us is meant to be a man or woman in the kingdom of God that is supposed to finance the work of God, to be involved in the work of God. If your desire is to be blessed, one of the things that will make you very blessed is that you have a desire to be involved. Financial expansion, ministry expansion is only feasible through financial wealth. If there's no wealth, nothing can be done. The gold of God is needed to fulfill the goal of God. Goal, what is God's goal? Souls. The gold of God is needed to fulfill the goal of God. If there's no gold of God, there can never be. The goal of God cannot be done. It cannot be done except this is done. The harvest of souls are waiting, and it takes massive resources to get this done. Number seven is financial liberation fulfills one of the essence of Calvary. One of the many reasons why Christ died is to make you rich. And I can prove it in the scripture. To make you have blessings. Something to show. Revelations 5 verse 12. Revelations chapter 5 verse 12. The Bible says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. One of the reasons why Christ died is to give you power. Somebody say power. And not only power, riches. So when you are financially blessed, it is one of the reasons why Christ went to Calvary. Somebody will say, only that scripture alone. I can give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Christ was rich. He descended to poverty level to ensure that you become rich. Hello. If you are poor again, it's not Christ's fault. If I am rich, my children shouldn't be crying of granite. Granite, I can't eat. I've not ate since 1 week now. I need granite. Your father is rich. You are now weeping. All I just need is something to eat. For what? I say your father is rich and he is still rich. From today, every traces of poverty around you shall be removed in Jesus' name. I say it shall be removed in Jesus' name. I say it shall be removed in Jesus' name. Especially in Nigeria, where you are intimidated when your pocket is empty. You talk to a lady, she looks at you like this. You say, I must go and see my pastor to pray for me that this kind of stinking brother can talk to me. I must go and see pastor for deliverance. Size you up like this. But today, every single lady here today, God is going to make you and your husband super blessed. And every woman here already married, God is going to make your family super blessed. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. You will not lack resources. I say you will not lack resources. It's very easy to fall in love when things are okay. And it's very easy to fall out of love when things are not okay. I mean, leave spirituality up. How many of you have gone to the market before and you wanted to buy meat and you began to speak in tongues there? Latwa kakakara, lagagaga ratakia, zakia. You are doing your hand like this to expand the meat they will cut. No. They will use the knife. The man will sharpen the knife very well like this and look for where to chuck it. Or you went to a lady's father, you want to marry her. And as you enter the house, you say, La kwaka kagarada, jantia da. They are looking at you. How many yams did you bring? How many coke did you bring? Bag of rice, where is it? Did you buy a cow? Did you buy cow? Did you send for cow? All the list we gave you, where is it? You say, Gagara matalia. Laga gagara bagadia. The man will call the daughter and say, upon all the money I spend on you, can you see your life? Your story is changing today. I say your story is changing today. Your story is changing today. 2 weeks ago, I will not tell you the person, but the person is here, smiling to me here. The person told me that when he was still courting his wife, we went for visitation, and he was telling me on my way back that he went to greet his wife in their church, and he had a very rackety car that time. Very rackety car that he will go and hide it somewhere, but that day I don't know how it was parked near the church. And all of a sudden he started the car, and the car went to bash a church member or something like that. And apart from that, you have to almost do deliverance for the car to start. If you put new battery service money, it might not want to start. And the lady said, this car, please. Don't bring this car here again. Pray for somebody here today. God will save you from embarrassment. I say, God will save you from embarrassment. I say, God will save you from financial embarrassment. Landlord can embarrass one without financial abrasion. They will come and bang on your door. Bang, 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 bang. 5:30 a.m. You think he's armed robber. Who is there? He says, my money or you pack out now. Especially in Lagos. For some of you that have lived in Lagos before. Because somebody has already brought plenty money to eject you. And you can see with your own eyes, they pack your things out. Just because something is not available. Friends, I pray for somebody here today. The last embarrassment you suffered is the last one you will suffer. If you like, you say a big amen. If you like, you keep quiet. You know what? You know something very funny about we Christians? We do as if these things we are talking about are as if they are less important. As if we are too spiritual. You are too spiritual, but when you go now, you put your hand in your pocket to spend money. It's a necessity and you will have it. I say it's a necessity and you will have it. You will not only have it, you will have abundance of it. If I were you, I would say a big amen. Quickly this morning, what are the keys to financial liberation? Having said all this, what do I need to do to secure this? Number one is a God first mentality. In Matthew 6 verse 33, Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. On the day your thought is always towards God first, that is the day your heaven open. Look at Solomon, for example. Many people thought that it's only because Solomon gave, that's why God blessed him. Yes, and yes. He gave, 1 Kings chapter 3, from verse 3 to 4, I know you know the story very well. He gave, that's true. But when God went to him, I think in verse 5, 1 Kings 3, verse 5, God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked him, what should I give thee? What is your desire? Then let us go on and see what he said. Because it was a simple question. I want to bless you. What is your desire? And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made me servant. He was still praising God and appreciating God. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. And thy servant is in the midst of people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered. Give therefore thy servant understanding heart to judge your people. That was the thing that changed Solomon's life. God appeared to him because of his giving, and he said, I want something that will help me to serve you better. I desire wisdom that I might rule your people in your fear. Give me wisdom. Let me know how to treat people. Give me wisdom. Let me know what to say per time. Let me be a useful vessel in your hand. God say, oh, this boy has touched my heart. Huh? This is all you want. You did not ask for the head of your enemy. You did not ask for gold and silver. Neither did you ask for long life. So, since that is your desire, I will surprise you. Many have made God last. That's why God too doesn't care about them. Everything comes first. Their husband, their wife, their job, their dressing, their makeup, their bag, their car. God is number last on the priority. And this has made many people's heaven to freeze. My prayer for somebody here this morning is that the grace to have a God first, that is high, you place God in the highest of priority in your life. I know a man who some years ago, doing very well, was involved in massive engineering projects. Doing very well. All of a sudden, I saw him some time ago. He was begging for 2,000, 3,000. Somebody was in command of resources. Because all those people, you'll be pursuing him for church. Hello, aren't you coming to church? Where did you come today? Calabar to see governor. I'm in this place. When you see such people, don't envy them. No matter how rich they are now, they can't end well. Until your mentality is a mentality that thinks of God. You revere God. You have a strong reference for God. That is the beginning of financial wealth. Number two, key to financial liberation is a righteous and upright life. Righteous and upright life. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 4. Psalm 112. Verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Can you see that in verse 3? Because this man was upright and righteous, the Bible says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Wealth and riches will be in your house. But you must live a righteous life. Wealth and riches have been in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 4. Until the upright, there ariseth light in that. Now, what's the Bible trying to say here? Go to verse 3 again. Because of your uprightness and your righteous living, he said there is no way you will not end in wealth. That was the secret of Job. In Job chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. Job chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. There was a man in the land of Uz named Job. Whose name was Job? And that man was perfect. Someone say perfect. Upright. Someone say upright. And one day feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed evil means hated evil. Can I have another version? He has a personal hatred for evil. And there was a man in the country of Uz named Job. He was a man of perfect integrity who feared God and turned away. Anywhere Job saw evil, he turned away. Go back to KJV. Now, in verse 2, the Bible is speaking about this man that we are talking about. Verse 2 of this same place. There was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 3, where we will stop. And his substance, where they started mentioning what Job was worth. Like talking about a wealthy man in Nigeria. So he was worth 7,000 sheep. And 3,000 camels. That's like trucks or caterpillars. The sheep is like talking about pickups or something similar. And 500 yoke of oxen. And 500 she asses. And a very great household. So that this man was the greatest. You see, righteous and upright living makes you the greatest amongst your peers. You are not foolish living right. You are not stupid turning your back on iniquity. You have a chance to do it, but you say, no, I won't do this. You are paving the way for financial wealth for yourself. You are paving the way for financial abundance for your family. My prayer for somebody here today is that God will give you that grace in Jesus' name. I say, God will give you that grace in Jesus' name. Whereas a lady, you hate collecting evil money from people. You are not involved in collecting money for people to lay your back on the ground. You are too expensive for that. Say, come on, I'll give you 50,000. You are more than that. 50,000 can't buy this microphone I'm holding now. Even 100,000 can't buy this microphone. So for a whole you, they just take you and take this. I mean, you are far worth more than that. Number 3, key to financial liberation. I said number 1 is what? God first mentality. Number 2 is what? Good. Number 3, quickly, is tithing and offering. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Your tithe is 10% of what God. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Every tithe, the Bible says, it is holy unto the Lord. Quickly, this one I want to show you as I begin to round up. 4 implications of your tithe. Number 1 implication of your tithe is that your tithe is a confirmation that you have a mentality of God first. Is it confirmation of your honor for God? Number 2 implication of your tithe is it is a sign that you are a faithful steward with money. You fear God and you don't love money. You know, there are some people, they say, your money or your life. You say, yeah, take my life, leave my money. They love money more than any other thing. It's a sign that you love God more than mammon. Number 3, implication of your tithe is that it's your connection to blessing. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. The implication of your tithe is that it connects you to blessing. A closed hand receives nothing. The reason why many people's lives are so closed is because their hands are so tight. And so God's hand is open, but their hands are not open. God cannot give them something new. They have held on to the same resources, the same income. They have been roaming around the same level of financial income for many years because their hands are tied towards God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And of course, the implication of your tithe is that it connects you to transgenerational blessing. Abraham tithed, he was blessed. Isaac tithed, he was blessed. Jacob was in tithing, he was blessed. Like that, Joseph tithed, was blessed. Levi tithed, like that. The more you tithe, the more you introduce your children to transgenerational wealth. Tithing brings your family into transgenerational wealth. I'm still talking of keys to financial liberation. I said number one is God-first mentality. Number two is righteousness or uprightness. Number three is tithing and offering. Giving of tithe and offering. And number four is maintaining a life of sacrifice. Noah distinguished himself through sacrifice. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20 to 22. If your desire is to end in blessing, you must live a life of... The Bible says, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet sap. May God smell something good from your altar of sacrifice today. There are many who God has never smelled anything. The only thing he has been smelling is the chicken they are doing in their own kitchen for them to eat personally. There's no sacrifice going up to God. There's nothing placed down as an appreciation to God. And God says, that's why you can't enjoy liberation. So, maintain a lifestyle of sacrifice and giving. Maintain a sacrifice of life and giving. Bible says in Psalm 126 verse 5, he that sweat in tears shall reap in joy. If you sow in tears, you reap. In 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3, give me that another version, not KJV. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3, we will see how David lived his life. Now look at this. Moreover, because of my delight in the house of God, I now give my personal treasure of gold and silver for the house of my God over and above all that I have provided for the holy house. Next, go on now. Verse 4. Now, they began to mention it. 100 tons of gold. Gold of effort. 250 tons of refined silver. This and that. Go on. You can see all those things being listed. The gold for gold and this and this and that. Then the leaders of the household, the house of the tribe. He was listing all this. And at the end of the day, he said, anybody that wants to join me, follow me. You see, we have reached a level whereby you don't say, please, let us do the same thing. Now, it is now, if you wish to also be prosperous, do the same thing. What David was saying here is that this is what I am doing. This is how sacrificial I am. If you really want to be liberated, do the same. Financial liberation is an offshoot of a giving life. And this giving must be to God, sacrifice to God, to parents. Somebody say parents. Giving to parents, giving to pastors and servants of God, giving to the poor and to the needy around you. The poor and the needy around you, your family members, your parents, your father, your mother, being a blessing to them, you know, and all that. Don't go home after a long time and then you go home empty-handed. Don't do that. Ensure that every time you appear, you are appreciative of what they have done for you. And number six, where I better stop today, is diligence and hard work. Diligence and hard work. That's another major key to financial liberation. Everyone that must be blessed must be diligent and hardworking. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, he that does not work must not eat. If you don't work, don't eat. In Proverbs 12 verse 24, Proverbs 12 verse 24, can we read KJV? Proverbs 12 verse 24, the Bible says there, it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall be in Proverbs 10 verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4. The Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. My prayer for your hands today is that your hands shall turn to rich hands. But for this to happen, be hard working. Don't let a day go without you adding value to life. Don't waste a day of your life. Don't let any month go. I just want to waste this month. That's a waste of destiny. I just want to waste today. No investment in your work. No investment into your assignment. Nothing is being done in terms of hard work. When they come to your office and they ask after you, what is your testimony? They say, that person is very hardworking. And they say, hey, omole. Or they say, very hardworking. I've never seen anybody that hard work kills. I've only seen those that hard life kills. Easy life. They don't care. If you don't care, life you also will not care about you. You must care. He says, my father walketh ether through, and I walk. The grace for diligence comes for everyone here this morning in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? The grace for diligence comes for you this morning in the name of Jesus.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.